There's a new set from the Cincinnati Pops coming out. It's called American Originals. And good evening. I'm Frank Johnson here with Chelsea Vandedring, the recording engineer who made this new CD possible. Yeah, let's put it all on her and say she's the one who made it possible. It's different from everything that we've heard from the Pops over the years. It's a concert recording from Music Hall, American Originals. And Chelsea Vandedring, let's ask you about this, because whenever we hear a recent recording from the CSO or the Pops, whether it's on WGUC 90.9 or their new CDs, it's your work. You're the one who put it all together. So give us a little bit of information about this new CD, American Originals.
Well, it was definitely a pleasure to record. I'll start off with that. And quite the challenge, because this was the first live recording of the Cincinnati Pops to be commercially released. So there was a lot of pressure. There were a lot of channels. And it's definitely dynamically different than anything I've personally recorded commercially for the symphony, because prior to this, I worked primarily with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, not the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. So there are a lot of different elements that you have to keep in mind. You know, I have like essentially a rock band in the middle of the orchestra, in addition to all of the guest artists that are being accompanied by the orchestra. And in this case, we had quite the collage of guest artists, and they all have their own specialty too. Like Dom Flemons plays bones and...
Bones.
Yeah, okay. I know. These bones that he smacks all over his body, and not just like on his chest, but on his legs and on his feet. And he's going around under his armpits and just really a trip. And then he goes straight from that to harmonica or to banjo and then to singing. And he's a songster, so he doesn't really sing per se, as like he speaks sings, and it's very Appalachian and it's very different. Then you go from somebody like Dom Flemons to Aoife O'Donovan, who has like pretty much the voice of an angel. And so the dynamic contrast of this concert specifically was huge.
Now, these are all people who did each individual songs with the Cincinnati Pops for this concert. And we should mention this was a concert recording. So that means not only do you have the Cincinnati Pops, all these soloists, you also have a couple of thousand people sitting in Music Hall. You have to contend with them as well.
Oh, a couple? Try like 3,500 people. The concert did so well. I think we almost sold out every night. We may have even sold out at one point. And they were just so enthusiastic. It was fantastic. And that's the kind of energy that you want. And it's really interesting when you're tasked with the project of recreating this moment, because when you think about recreating the moment, you're not just recording what happened in time, but you have to recreate the energy that everybody felt in the audience at that time. So many people were ecstatic after that concert to get this recording. I mean, I was being asked all over Cincinnati by people that knew what I did. When can I get this recording? And I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, I just don't want to let them down, because I know what kind of energy that is. And that doesn't always... it's not always the easiest thing to transfer into a CD. It's really simple to, and it's not simple necessarily, but the concepts of recording, like you record the music, you put your microphones out, you start your computer, yada, 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 you have a recording. But being able to to reveal that sort of energy, that cosmic thing that happens in the auditorium when, you know, John turns to the audience and they start participating and, you know, they're on the edges of their seats. And I mean, you can't record that, but you have to. So yeah. It's definitely, I don't look at it so much as a burden, but as something that just enables the music to be more than it is.
That will be John Morris Russell, who's the conductor of the Cincinnati Pops. Let me ask you about when you're recording these things, like within a single song, and we can get to some of the specific songs, but within a single song, in a few seconds of time, the sound will go from the wide screen hugeness of the whole orchestra to maybe just a single voice or like an acoustic instrument, a banjo. I mean, that's one extreme to the other, very little time. How do you handle that as a person recording this for posterity?
Try not to handle it frantically. I mean, that is a huge responsibility. And it was one I thought about for months prior to this recording. We had been planning this project probably a year easily before we actually did it. Started talking about it in the January prior to this past January. And, you know, I just tossed around so many different ideas because not only did I have to do that, but to be able to mix and master this afterward in post-production, everything needed to be multi-tracked. And so instead of sending things, you know, like groups of things out via stereo buses, so for all those technology people out there, they know what I'm talking about. But I needed to be able to manipulate every single little tiny aspect of the orchestra in post-production just in case. I wanted to be able to do that. And so I had to research tons of different types of equipment, tons of different ways to record this. And that's one of the primary ways to do something like that so that I can, in post-production, bring everything up. I can compress it a little bit or I can EQ it just enough to make it really stick out but not stick too far forward. And I really hope I achieve that on this record because for me, and especially after speaking with JMR, you know, we wanted the hugeness of this orchestra. I mean, the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra and the Cincinnati Symphony have this ability just to sonically take up space. And it's beautiful and lush and gorgeous. And you want to capture that. And when you're in music hall, I feel like you capture that emotion. But when you record it, it's very difficult to transfer because you still want the grit of the strings and you want the accuracy of the woodwinds and you want the punch of the percussion. And so those sorts of things are really difficult to translate in general. And then you put these artists in front and you want to manipulate them as well. Really, the key is multitracking. You have to multitrack all of it. And we used all 32 of our channels.
Wow.
Every single last one of them.
Now, we've been talking about the technical aspects, and you did mention the emotions, the music itself, the songs, very emotional, very evocative. I mean, it's called American Original. There's a reason for American Originals, just classic bedrock sounds and songs of the U.S. Can we talk about a few of them here, like Amazing Grace?
Oh, what amazing arrangement, right? Rebecca Pellett just absolutely tears at your heartstrings because it opens so calmly and so slowly with Aoife O'Donovan. And speaking of audience participation, John had the audience members rubbing their hands together like that. And then the other half of the audience was going like this.
Clicking their fingers.
Clicking their fingers. And so you had this soundscape moving left and right, and he even kind of did like a surround sound pseudo stereo thing with it. And it was quite successful. I mean, you just kind of hear it underneath everything, underneath the beautiful orchestrations. And then all of a sudden it just takes off with the Comet Bluegrass All-Stars and Aoife. And it's just like this joyous, this incredibly joyous celebration. And I have to admit, Amazing Grace was one of my all-time pet peeve tunes. Never liked it growing up. Had a really hard time wrapping my head around it. It is by far one of my favorite on the record. Okay. It is an absolutely incredible arrangement. It's just, it's breathtaking.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
There's another song that kind of surprised me because I didn't know it had history. Love Me Tender, you think of Elvis, that's it. But I didn't know it went back even before Elvis Presley got to it.
And you can count on Joe Henry to remind you that. Joe is amazing. That Arlie is, again, breathtaking. And hearing his take on it, being the songwriter that he is. And most people, I don't know if they always associate songwriting with him and even producing, but the man has, you know, Grammys under his belt and just an amazing outlook on life in general, and especially sharing music. He's incredibly well-educated, essentially brilliant when it comes to the recording arts and understanding what it means to put energy into a mix. You know, we had a long conversation about that during this recording. Because he's produced so many records. I mean, he's worked with Emmylou Harris, you name it. Like, just really amazing artists. Hearing his take on that specific tune and not knowing the history behind it. I didn't know the history behind a lot of these and how significant Stephen Foster was to American history. And I think that this record really, really brings that to light.
Orally, the birds may flee, the willow's golden hair. Move through winter fitfully upon the stormy air. But if thy blue eyes I see, gloom will soon depart. For to me, sweet only is sunshine to the heart. Sunshine came along with thee and swallowed in the air.
And some other, again, bedrock songs like Beautiful Dreamer, Oh Susanna, Genie with the Light Brown Hair.
Oh, yeah. Another amazing arrangement with Karen. Oh, Karen Berquist. And I mean, oh, wow. And Aoife O'Donovan on duet. What a pair. What a team. That was fantastic. And such different voices because, you know, Karen has this dark, sultry, you know, jazzy nightclub voice. And Aoife's like this bright and brilliant and voice of an angel type of a voice. And you put them together, they were just a perfect team. And then her Slumber, My Darling, tears. I tell you, for this mother, absolute tears.
So just so many great songs. And from what we're hearing about this, very unique performance with the Cincinnati Pops and all these. Roseanne Cash, we haven't even mentioned her name, and she's one of the biggest names at the performance.
Oh, yeah. But let me tell you, so as big as all of these names are, you know, whether they be in Cincinnati or nationally or internationally, working with them collaboratively was a dream. an absolute dream. Everybody was in it for the long haul. It was so much material to put together. Roseanne didn't get in until, I think, the day before our performance. She was there for the dress rehearsal. That was her sound check. And we just took off. And when she came in, she worked with John, you know, before coming out on stage, and even working on stage, she was just an absolute joy to work with. And getting to talk to her musically about what was going on between the orchestra and her solo work, between Beautiful Dreamer and Old Kentucky Home, just an absolute joy to work with, and just a pleasure to mix too with the orchestra. And it's, they all have these unique voices. When you first hear them, you're like, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to mix this in with an orchestra, but it just works. And it just ended up coming together.
So we all get to hear this. This is American Originals, and the CD gets released on September 11th in all the usual places. The Cincinnati Pops, this is their very first live recording, and you can get that thanks to Chelsea Vanderdrink, the recording engineer here at Cincinnati Public Radio, who worked on this new CD, and thank you for telling us all about this new set.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. It was an amazing team of people to work with.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.